Truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're going to finish up the chapter 32 in the book of Exodus. We're at the 31st chapter verse right now, Exodus chapter 32, verse 31. We're going to begin and finish that and then get down hopefully to the end of the sixth verse in chapter 33. So please open your Bibles to that chapter and verse, and we'll begin the study in a few moments. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's going to be a wonderful day, as always, as we come together to study God's Word. Beginning now to read at Exodus chapter 32, verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. And the Lord, verse 1 of chapter 33, And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Let's begin with prayer now after reading the precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. It's a wonderful, glorious time to come together and study your word. So please guide and lead us now through this study. Help us to see each one, how it applies to ourselves, that we may walk closer to you. Give us the strength we need each day, dear Lord, please. Please that you would guide and lead us now. And those that are lost, that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come today and trust in you today. And those, dear Lord, that are saved, please that we grow and we be closer to you and are drawn closer to you. So we need salvation for the lost and a growing for the saved. And so please help us to do just that today in this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come together and we've looked at these verses of Scripture, and we find that as Moses came down and found the golden calf that the people had made, that Aaron had carved together, and all of a sudden, why, God brings judgment down upon these stiff-necked people, and 3,000 are put to death immediately, and probably that 3,000 that was put to death was the ones that really brought forward this worship of another god, and also was really the promoters of this is the God being the golden calf that brought us out of Egypt. This is the one that's going to take us to the promised land. And so it's so sad to see that man had fallen so quickly, and yet we do exactly the same. And so please understand that that we need to walk with the Lord and praise Him and honor Him each and every day. As a believer, as a lost person, you've got no hope. You need to come by faith to Jesus today and be saved, because there is only one God and there's only one way of salvation. Well, these people, and that's kind of where we picked up here. Number one, God had, and we've kind of repeated this for a couple of times now, but I think it's worth repeating. God took the Levites, those that He called out, you know, who is on the Lord's side in the 26th verse, let him come unto me. And the Levites stepped forward and came unto Moses. And then Moses gave the command that they go out and kill all that were involved in this, as far as at least the participating, following, the desire to worship this calf and to acknowledge this calf as God. And those, I think a lot of people were involved in it. I think they got taken up by it, and today it's the same way. There's an awful lot of people that have been deceived by false teaching, false doctrine, false music, false everything, it seems as though today. And so many people have been led away by every wind of doctrine because they do not know the Word of God. Well, these people did the same thing. When some begin to lead another way, many followed. But it seems as though that God, at least up front here in this chapter, didn't hold them responsible as far as immediate judgment. But there were 3,000 that He did. And He sent out His Levites with swords, and they killed 3,000. And there is no mention of any mourning. There's no mention of any funeral. There's no mention of nothing. It just seems that they killed them and walked away. And you know, God's judgment is real. And so don't think that you can miss the cross of Calvary and go another way and make it. You know, that is the talk of the day. It's been that way for many, many years. We are all going to the same place. We're just going different ways. We all bow down to the same God. We just are coming from different directions. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. There is only one way to know the truth, and that is the Word of God, the Bible. There is no other book. You know, you hear that, well, we'll send you this King James Bible and the other book, or sometimes they don't even mention that other book is coming. And so, you know, my friend, we've got the Word of God, and we don't need anything more. And so there's so many religions out there that are false teachers of God's precious Word. They have taken parts of it and then made it to be their own. So please, that you look to the Word of God today, you trust in the salvation that comes by the cross of Calvary, and please, the Holy Spirit's going to convict your heart and bring you to a saving knowledge. Please, that you come today and be saved. Don't try another way. These 3,000 tried another way, and they led a lot of people with them. And these people, they didn't get off free, did they? No, they didn't. And as we look at this here, we find that after the death of the 3,000, after those was put to death, then Moses comes before the Lord, and he makes an atonement for the people, because he's not sure the judgment is over. And so he comes, and he said that, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. You see, he doesn't think, that's in verse 32. He doesn't believe, Moses doesn't believe that God's done with judgment. And he wants to save. He had no problem, I think, with God's judging these 3,000 in the manner that he did. But when it comes to the rest of these people that were maybe deceived, or maybe some of them had nothing to do with it, they just didn't stop it. And so here we go, and he says that if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You see, we have the wonderful book of life, and there is record of that here in Exodus, is there's record all the way back in the book of Revelation, the book of life. And you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you do, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, Moses loved these people, and he was willing to give his soul up for these people. You know, we see that in Paul. We see that so many different times, or sometimes anyway, in the Scripture, where a person loves the Lord so much, and they love people so much, and they would give anything that that person be saved. And so they're willing to give up their very salvation if it could be. It cannot. I cannot hand my salvation to anyone. It is mine. God gave it to me. It was my gift. And you can receive the same gift, the gift of salvation, if you'll come. But it doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what land you were born in. It doesn't matter what church you attend. What does matter is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And please, that you come today and trust in him. But Moses had such a love for these people that says, God, if there's more judgment, if justice has to be taken care of here, and Moses understood if it did, he said, then please blot my name out. Blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. You see, he not only presented himself as a payment, but also I believe that he, even though wasn't there, had nothing to do with it, and yet he felt himself was one of them. And so if they're going to go, I'm going to go. And that was his feeling. And what a love that Moses had for these people. And so the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So those that are accountable, those that are held accountable, they will be held accountable. They'll have the justice will be done, whatever it might be. They will be blotted out of the book. You're not going to be Moses. And so we need to understand that the righteousness that I possess is a righteousness that God has given me. And I can share that great news with someone else, but I cannot give my salvation to anyone else. I can't save anybody. This church can't save anybody. No church can save anybody. The only way you can come by faith to Jesus Christ and possess salvation is that you come. The Holy Spirit touches your heart, and you'll know that day. And so many folks today think they possess that salvation, but they don't, because they have never come by faith. There's not a day, there's not a time that they can say, I remember. And again, it's not that it's a date on a calendar that you can remember, the day of the week, even the year, but it's a place, it's an opportunity, it's a time in your life that you will never forget, the day you meet our holy God. And so if you don't have that, if you don't possess that, I want you to search your heart, because too many times we just kind of evolve into it. We have been taught so much so long, so we must be a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. But do you believe it truly in your heart? Call upon the Lord to confirm that, my friend. I don't want anyone that's listening to these programs to miss that opportunity of salvation through Jesus Christ. All right, we have here in verse 34, therefore now go, lead the people, this is God speaking to Moses, unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Now, it's a very sad day as we look at these scripture verses to find that Moses here is standing before God, standing on behalf of the people, wanting to be counted amongst them. But when it comes down to it, God says, Moses, you're mine. At one time, remember, he wanted to kill all the people and begin again with Moses. And whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken. Now we have here in verse 34, mine angel shall go before thee. And I don't know in your Bible, but in mine it's a capital. And many times in the scripture when it speaks of the angel of the Lord, that's who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it says, mine angel. They have capitalized it, believing that it is, I think, the Lord Jesus Christ. But something happens here. Number one, the plague comes. That's some disease or pestilence or something or other that come upon all the people. And so not only did the 3,000 die, but also we had the plague that come upon them. And when we go down to chapter 33, I want you to see something here that appears to be missing. The Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he says, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. It appears like here, God says, okay, Moses, I said I would take those people in, but you're going to lead them, because I'm not going. He says, now I'm going to send an angel ahead of them and clean the land for you. But if I come amongst you, if I come amongst you, I will destroy you. You see, he calls them a stiff-necked people. Now, isn't that sad? So very sad that instead of being my people, I love my people, God would say, my people have been faithful to me, they're serving me, they're praising me. Instead of that, he gives them a name according to their character. And that name is a stiff-necked people. That's what he calls them. He calls them the stiff-necked people. Now, stiff-necked. I want you to be mine. I want you to serve me. I want you to come before me in a humble, sweet spirit. But you won't. You will not bow your head to me. You will not bow a knee to me. You are a stiff-necked people. God wants these people. He wants to be their God. He wants to lead them down the path of righteousness. But they would not turn from their ways. They couldn't get them to turn. They're stiff-necked. Now, there's another word that maybe would help us to understand just a little bit better than stiff-necked. It'd be stubborn. They're a stubborn people. And you know, there's nothing worse than a child or an adult that never grew out of it that is stubborn. There's nothing worse than that. You can't deal with them. You can't talk to them. They're stubborn. They're blockheaded. They got one sense, one direction in their mind, and you can't change them. You know anybody like that? I sure do. I know people like that. I know people that refuse to come by faith to Jesus Christ. They're just jug-headed, bull-headed, stiff-necked, stubborn. They will not surrender to the will of God. It's so sad. The people existed at this time too. and God names them. He said, ye stiff-necked people. We got a lot of stiff-necked people that's in church today. And probably from one time to the next, one time from now and again, we turn to that same position ourselves. One minute we're listening to God, the next minute we're a stiff-necked people. We're not paying attention. This people's kind of the same way. You know, one minute they're being led out of the land of Egypt and being saved from the Egyptians, and they're praising God and calling upon God. The next minute they're saying, you know, were there no graves in Egypt? Why did you lead us out of that land? It wasn't all that bad. And then they are sitting here at Mount Sinai waiting for Moses to come back, and he's gone for 40 days. Where's Moses? Moses is gone. Where's Moses? And so they decide to build their own God because they're getting impatient. They're a stiff-necked people. And we, many times, are the same. So, let's look at this again. It appears that the Lord is telling Moses to lead these people into the land, but he's not going with them. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. If I start to lead you and you do this again, you're done for. That's what he's saying. The Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, this is verse 5, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. As we look at these times here, we look at these stiff-necked people. They've just made a calf. Moses has crushed it and put it into a powder and literally made them to drink of this. Moses was ordered by the Lord to tell the Levites that come forward to be on the Lord's side to go kill 3,000. He did. There lay dead 3,000 men. Then they got the plague, whatever that was. We're not sure whether it was a pestilence that came upon them, whether it was some kind of a disease that came upon them. We're not sure. But we know it was real and it was very evident. And then we have in the beginning of chapter 33, Moses, I want you, okay, if you're going to stand for him, I want you to go ahead and take these people forwards. You go ahead and take them to this land. I'll proceed before you and I'll clean the land out. But if I come into your midst and they continue to act the way they act, I will destroy them. I will consume them. And again, he names them stiff-necked. You know, sometimes today I'm afraid that we're kind of dancing around the words. We're not very clear. You know, we've just closed out a study in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was absent for a period of time after he had finished the wall. He had to go back to Babylon, and on his return, he found that they had almost reverted back to everything they were before they were in the 70-year of the 70 years of captivity. They had went back to not accepting the Sabbath day. They kind of worked on the Sabbath day, traded on the Sabbath day, things like that. They intermarried with all the people of the land, all these things. Well, Nehemiah came in. It wasn't too long. He dealt with them, and he dealt with them in a hurry. And he got physical with them, the scripture. You read the last chapter of the book of Nehemiah. You read that chapter, and you'll find out when he came back that he dealt with them people, and he dealt with them now, and he dealt with them hard. And they knew that they had displeased God. Nehemiah was, again, walking by the actions of the Lord. Here Moses, he kind of stands between the people of Israel and God for a period of time, and he wants God's mercy shown upon these people. But it's so sad that God has named them instead of his people here. It's these stiff-necked people that will not surrender to your will. I want you to take them up to this land, because if I went with you, in a moment I would consume them. Therefore now put off thy ornaments. You remember what they made the golden calf with? Do you remember that? Do you remember what they made the golden calf with? They made it with their earrings. Well, it appears they still have some ornaments. Whether they want the gold, see, for that. Well, maybe these are made of silver or something else. I don't know. But they still appear to have quite a bit of jewelry on. And God says, I want you to take that jewelry off, and I don't want to see it. I want you to take it off. And he took that jewelry. They took that jewelry off, or the ones that had not had it on, didn't put it on that morning, they took it off. And it was a show of humility. It's a show that you know, God commanded, I did it, and let's go on here. And so that was in hopes that God's mercy would be shown here. And he asked them to do something. And then he tells them in the end of verse 5, that I may know what to do unto thee. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. That's what God's really saying there. You do this, and then I'll see. You do this, and then I'll find out what I'm going to do to you. And that's exactly what was taking place here. You stiff-necked people. Now, two times here, lest I consume thee, in verse 3. In verse 5, I will come up unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. God is angry because they have forsaken him and they wanted another God. Stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. You know, it's so sad that's the name they've received. Let's continue now with the seventh verse. And we're not going to get much further into there because we can sure start. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto a friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a younger man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, we see here in the beginning of this chapter that it's almost, you know, God says, okay, go. Depart, go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of Egypt. See, he didn't say that I have brought up. He said, you've brought them up, the Lord said. You know, it's just like that all of a sudden they've become Moses' people and not God's people. And so he said, you know, you just take them. And here we find that the first thing that Moses does, though, when he gets finished with this, then he appears to prepare the tabernacle. Now, we've got some pages ahead of us here as we go through this book, but we need to understand that they were at Mount Sinai almost a year in building this tabernacle. And so when all of a sudden here, he says, and he took the tabernacle, pitched it without the camp. You know, we have certain craftsmen that have built this tabernacle, that have made it exactly the way God wanted it to be. And so now we find that it's put into place. But the above verses here, there's no mention. God doesn't say, all right, build the tabernacle and then begin because I'll lead you. He says, I'm not going. I'm not going with you because right now I will consume you if I do. I will destroy you if I do. You see, this is what the anger, the justice of the Lord, and this is what the people deserved. But God's mercy was shown. And Moses went forward on behalf of the people, and we're going to see that they are led on with the Lord. What a wonderful story. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?